Hey, man.
Turn with me, guys, to the Exodus chapter 16. We are up to the ninth commandment now. I wish we were able to finish all of it before the year ended. At least that was the goal, but this is where we are in plan of God. And so Exodus chapter 20, verse 16 says to us, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." Pretty simple commandment, and when we look at it a little bit deeply, as we are going to do, we're going to see that this has a lot of implications. The God that we serve, the God of the Bible, is truth. When we come to the New Testament, Jesus tells us that I am the way and the truth. The whole faith, our salvation is based on a fact that the Bible is the true word of God. It is the truth and by which we are saved and we have an eternal life. And so when we look at this commandment, sometimes it is kind of simplified to the point, do not lie. And when you look at a big picture, yes, that fits. You know, there are many interpretation of this particular commandment. You can say that slander might fall under this, bearing, accusing somebody falsely would fall under this commandment, backstabbing. But generally, we kind of think of this as do not lie. But what we're going to look at today, and we are going to start out with a portion of scripture, and where we start out is exactly how we are going to end the Bible study today. There is a little bit of a deeper thought to this commandment than what we generally think of. And as I said, the God of the Bible is God of truth. And so when we look at this commandment, we can see that this commandment, if you are a person who is a false witness, is in complete opposition to what God stands for. So it is in complete opposition to God. And so it's a pretty important commandment. Before we get into the word and the teaching, I want to give you guys certain verses, what the Bible says about a false witness. So when we go to the Proverbs, and if you actually just do a search in Proverbs, you probably come up with 100 verses on it, on this particular subject. I just going to give you a few of them. It says, "A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness will utter lies." That's a very basic explanation, as we have been talking about. That's Proverbs 14:5. Another one that we see in Proverbs 6:19, it says, "A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." When we look at a false witness and the effect of a false witness, an account which is mentioned in the book of Kings, I believe in chapter 21, where it talks about Jezebel, a person we are very much familiar with, and Ahab, right? Jezebel was the queen wife of Ahab. Ahab fell in love with the vineyard that was in front of his palace, which belonged to, forget his name now, Nadab, I think. Nadab was his name. And he wanted that vineyard, although he had pretty much almost like a parallel to how the story of the David and Nathan goes, right? When he talks about that little small goat. And so he wanted that vineyard. And when his wife saw that he was sad, she asked him, "Why are you down? What happened?" So he tells her what he desires. And what she does, if you remember the story, is that she, makes this plot, and then she brings two false witnesses, and those two false witnesses obviously bear a witness against Nadab, and then he ends up dying. not only does he end up dying, but if you know the death of Jezebel. And so what a false witness does, sometimes what we think of as a little white lie, it has a devastating effect, and it destroys and it kills. But I want you to see, I want to show you this a little bit deeper than just a lie, although that is a fact, and that is a part of it. So for that, if you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. If I can get there. It says, "Now the chief priest, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death." What are they looking for? They don't have a case against him. They have no case against him. There's nothing they can accuse him of. So they are looking for false witnesses. You see where this is going right away. But found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward. So there were witnesses that came forward, but their account didn't match. They found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Now, these two false witnesses came and gave this testimony. "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" Were they lying when they said this? They were not lying, right? What they were doing is presenting a fact in a false way. And this is what Satan does. It's the right information, but wrong application. It's the right information. Jesus did say, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." He definitely said that. But they were taking that out of context and then misusing it to accuse Jesus of doing something. And when we look at this commandment, that's the gist of it. Bearing a false witness is presenting the truth in a way that benefits you. And this comes from a heart. Okay, this comes from a heart. And what we see here is devil uses us in this sense, that we feel like, okay, yeah, I am telling the truth. This is exactly what I heard. But then you don't have the background. You don't have the context. You might just have overheard a part of the conversation. And in that, you are actually accusing somebody that can have devastating effect on their life, as it did on Jesus' life. Right? When we go to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, the portion that you guys are very familiar with, it says, "This six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him." By the way, if you ever have to do a teaching, that's a great portion of teaching those verses. And then when you go to that list of seven things, okay, the verse 19 tells us, "A false witness who speaks lies and one who sows discord among brethren." A false witness who speaks lies and the one who sows discord among brethren. So when you see a division among brethren, where you see discord among brethren, you can pretty much take it to the bank that there is someone in that organization, that church, that family, whatever that unit is, there is someone who is whispering lies to the people in the group. And that's how the division comes. That's how the discord comes, right? We know that by another name, gossiping. You see the effect gossiping has and how it can destroy relationship and how it can affect others' lives. So when we look at this ninth commandment, gossiping may fall into this, right? And at the core of all of this, at the core of all of this, what is the issue, right? What is the heart of the matter? It's a matter of heart, right? What's the heart of the matter? It's the matter of heart. And we are going to look at that in a minute. Now, when a person who's a false witness, who is he? What characteristics do they have? Right? For that, we go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. This is what it tells us over there. It says, "A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow." A man who bears false witness against his neighbor. Now, I don't need to give you the definition of a neighbor for our study. For right now and for our purpose, neighbor is everyone, right? When we go to the story of the Good Samaritan, that's a kind of a teaching on what a neighbor is or who the neighbor is, right? It's not somebody who just lives next door to us. So this is not just bearing false witness against somebody who lives next to us, right? It covers pretty much everyone. But what it says over here is that man who bears a false witness is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. What are those three things? They are weapons, right? And what do? They destroy people. They kill people. They are violent, right? They are violent instruments to cause violence to the other person. A club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. What does arrow tell us, right? A club and a sword, you have to be close by to a person. But an arrow, person might not even see you, and you can take them out with an arrow. And what it says is the words that you use, sometimes, especially in the world that we live in, a world of social media, where we are, we are hiding behind a screen, a phone screen, or a computer screen, or a tablet screen, whatever you want to call it, right? We have this courage. We have this courage to write things, say things that we would not necessarily say if the person was in a same room with us. And that can be said, that can be applied to it being a sharp arrow. But when we look at a club and all these three weapons that we just saw, right? In order for us those weapons to be used, it has to be where? It has to be in somebody's hand, right? An arrow just doesn't get up and start flying toward the target, right? A sword, somebody has to pick up the sword and start swinging it in order for it to do some damage. So when we look at a club and these three weapons that we are talking about, when we lie, when we bear false witness, when we accuse, we are the weapons. And whose hand? In Satan's hand. Because what does God say? That he is a liar and the father of lies, right? He is using us as these weapons to cause damage to others. And so what we are basically doing is we are doing Satan's work when we bear a false witness. We are commanded to be something else, right? If we are worshiping a true God, as Jesus says, "I am the truth," and then so we are to imitate Jesus, and our life is supposed to reflect that. That word witness, we know how many different way it is used in the scripture. When Jacob is running away from Laban in Genesis chapter 31, when Laban catches up to him and then they make that treaty, they build a stack of, they put a stones together, right? And then they say that this is a witness between me and you that you will not cross over from this side to this side. So it was almost like a covenant, and you will see that over and over again in the scripture, that the word witness is used as a way of covenant, right? It's like almost like a signed contract. And so in our day and age, if you sign a contract and then you're going to go and maybe do some kind of a forgery or something and change the contract, you know what kind of a legal implications you can face. So this is some serious business that we are talking about. But when we look at this, right, we are commanded by Jesus to be his witnesses. And what kind of a witness? Like Jesus, we are to be true and faithful witnesses. Revelation chapter 1, 5. This is what it says about Jesus. It says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. When we go to John chapter 5, when you look at verse 31, Jesus says over there that my Father bears witness for me. My Father bears witness for me. When we look at John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, this is what it says to us. It says, when Jesus spoke to the disciples, and through that it applies to us. It says, but when the Helper comes, meaning when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. So what is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is a Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. That comes straight from the Father. He will testify of me. So the Spirit of truth testifies of Jesus, of who he is. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So the disciples were to bear witness of Jesus, as Old Testament requires that there has to be two witnesses in order for it to be a true testimony, right? So here we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and the disciples bearing witness of Jesus. And what is the witness we are talking about here? That he is the Son of God, that he is our Redeemer, he is the one who died for us, and that in his blood we are cleansed, and in his resurrection we have life. Right? This is the testimony of the Holy Spirit. And why did I include ourselves in that? When we are born again, when we accept Christ, this Spirit of truth comes and resides in us. And when it resides in us, right, we are to testify to that fact. And so when our life does not match what we proclaim to proclaim as our faith, then we are breaking this commandment. We are bearing a false witness. And to not against some human being, but we are bearing a false witness against God himself. Acts chapter 1, 8 tells us this, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. When are we going to be the witness? When the power, when the Holy Spirit has come upon us. Holy Spirit being, as we read from John 15, the Spirit of truth. When that comes, that is the only time we can bear the true witness. Otherwise, we are bearing false witness. It is only when we speak in the power of the Holy Spirit that we are bearing a true witness to the true and faithful witness. Jesus, who was a true and faithful witness. So you see, when we go deeper into this commandment, what kind of implications it has, right? And why did Jesus come on this earth for us? Why did he come on this earth? As we get ready to celebrate his birth, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, right? What was his purpose? John 1, 7 says to us, this man, meaning Jesus, came for a witness. So he came as a witness. He is a true and a faithful witness. He came as a witness. The Father and the Holy Spirit and the scripture, if you go to John chapter 5, verse 31 and verse 31 to 34, it says the Father and the scripture bear witness that he's the Messiah, the Son of God. But here, as I was reading this verse, John 1, 7, this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. Who is it talking about? John the Baptist, right? This man, John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, who? Jesus, that all through him might believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, right? The God became flesh. Are we that witness? Are we, is our life bears such a witness, or are we bearing a false witness? Because when we proclaim to be a born-again Christian, or we proclaim to be living a certain life, but then we are harboring certain feelings in our heart, then we are breaking these commandments. And why did I say that this is a matter of heart? If you go to Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, here we see in that portion of scripture, we are just going to read that one verse. But in that particular portion of scripture, the Pharisees are accusing the disciple of Jesus for eating. And then Jesus is giving a teaching on not what you eat that defiles you, but what comes out of you that defiles you. And this is what it says in verse 19. It says, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts." We kind of understand that. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness. You see, false witness is put right in there with evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. You see how serious this commandment is. And where does it come from? It comes from the heart. And so when we bear a false witness, what it says about us is that we do not have a redeemed heart. Because a heart that is completely surrendered to Jesus, if we have been born again, if the Spirit of truth is in us, we should not have this kind of fruits coming out of our heart. Only the heart that is not completely surrendered would have evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, false witness. And sometimes when we, in our Christian walk, what we feel is, you know what, no, I'm not a murderer. And we looked at what a murderer means, right? I'm not I don't commit adultery. And we looked at that as well, right? I certainly don't steal. We looked at that as well, what it means, right? But we kind of, take it very lightly when it comes to false witness. You know, sometimes we like, and guys, especially the guys who are listening, you know, don't get me wrong about this, all right? This is, you know, if your wife asks you, do I look fat in this? That's kind of a question you might have some trouble with. You know, that's something that was said about Abraham Lincoln, like he's known as the Honest Abe. They said one of the reasons why his wife one time was very mad at him because he was being honest when she asked that question, do I look fat in this dress? Another example of is, you know, when you call in sick, am I bearing a false witness? I'm not talking about those kind of situations. Okay. But when it comes to presenting the gospel, or when it comes to other people, when you gossip, when you say things which are not true, okay? As we started out in Matthew chapter 26, even when sometimes when we, when we speak the truth, but we speak it in a out of context, which sheds such bad light on the person we are talking about. You know, I often say many times there is gossip in church under the umbrella of a prayer request. You know, could you pray for so and so because they are going through, and then you give this whole list of all the stuff that is going on in their life. You know, so many times gossip takes place in a form of a prayer request. And so we need to be very, very careful with this commandment. And why am I saying all of these things when we come to witnessing, right? When you go to Romans chapter 8, verse 16, right? This is the blessing we have in Jesus. And since we have this blessing in Jesus, our life, our action needs to reflect that. It says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we are children of God, then our life has to reflect that. And so we need to self-examine. You know, as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, this is a busy time of the year. You know, we have so many things to do. We all want to buy that perfect gift, make that perfect holiday. There is a lot of demand for time, you know, our attention. Everybody's seeking our attention. We need to take a little bit of time and reflect and see where we are with God. If the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, does my life reflect that? You know, if you happen to be a leader in the church, if you happen to be a person who teaches, if you happen to be a person who shares the word of God, then you need to be very careful with this commandment here, right? Because if you present a Jesus that is a Jesus other than the one we find here in the scripture, you are bearing a false witness. You are bearing a false witness. And that's why when we look at all this prosperity gospel, when we look at all these false teachers, right, they are breaking this commandment along with about another 20 of them, but that's besides the point. So we need to reflect, we need to self-examine, and we need to see how we are living our life. Because one of the things that is, one of the word that is often used for Christian, right, is hypocrite. Because the people that we work with, people we associate with, right, often don't see our life, what we are doing, match what we are preaching. And our life should be the sermon that we are preaching to others. Our life has to reflect, right? If you are walking around with a big cross and I love Jesus die, right? Your life better be reflecting that, okay? After work, you are going and doing the same stuff that the other secular people are doing, then you are bearing a false witness to the name of the living God. How is your life? How are you living? How are you day to day in your own home with your wife, your children? How honest are you? All the commandments that came before this, right? How well are you doing on all of those things? When we proclaim to be something, and I'm not asking you to be perfect because none of us are perfect. This is not about perfection. This is about being conscious of what choices we make. You know, we can't have if we are saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? You can't have an open can of beer in your hand and you're smoking a cigarette, okay? It's just not, you are not just bearing a good witness to people. You are not bearing a good witness. And I think one of the issues that we have in the church today is, there are a lot of Sunday morning Christians, not 7-day Christians. And we need more 7-day Christians that the same attitude that we have on a Sunday when we are sitting in a church, that should be the same way we should be acting on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all days of the week. Our life has to reflect what the faith we proclaim. And as we end this Bible study, what if you happen to be the a person on the receiving end of a lie? if you are on the other hand. Again, I want to take you back to Matthew 26 and read from verse 26, 62, where we left off. And he says, "And the high priest arose and said to him, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it this man testify against you?'" Right? This is in regards to what we read earlier when the two witnesses accused him. But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." The word, the sentence that I want to draw your attention to is, "But Jesus kept silent." But Jesus kept silent. You know, I am as guilty of as anyone, right? When you there is an accusation made against you, you know, if there is a lie that is spoken against you, you want to defend yourself. You want to clear the air. You want to sometimes just go back at the person, right? Here, Jesus teaches us a very good lesson, but Jesus kept silent. But Jesus kept silence. And I think that is a that's a there's a message right in there, right? That someday we might explore. But I think that's a very sound way to deal with certain criticisms, certain accusations, certain lies. Let, right? Let God answer for you, right? Another example is, you know, when you look at Martha and Mary, and when Mary is sitting there listening to Jesus' teaching at his feet, right? And Martha is doing all this work, and she's very upset with her sister. And she comes out, and she, you know, she's like, "What's going on here? You know, why is she sitting there when I have so much work?" All of you know that account of that a story, right? You don't hear Mary say anything, right? But Jesus speaks for Mary. And so when there is an accusation, where there is a lies being spoken against you, let Jesus answer for you. As Jesus teaches us here, you keep silent, let Jesus answer for you. And so as we end this Bible study, and we finish this ninth commandment, and I think it's by design that the 10th commandment, we are going to pick it up next year, next year, because it's a commandment that we all really need to understand. But as we end this Bible study, I just want to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a very happy, healthy, prosperous New Year. Enjoy yourself, but just carve out a little time to think about some of the things that we have looked at on a Sunday night, you know, because it's at the end of the day, it's about how is our walk with Christ, right? And by knowingly or unknowingly, we do not want to bear a false witness for our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Like him, we are to imitate him. We are to be little Christ, right? And so we need to be the true and a faithful witness. True and a faithful witness. Although there might be 100 people against you, and you might be the only person who stands by truth, right? You standing with Jesus, right, is a majority. One standing with Jesus, you are in a majority. So I hope you reflect on this, and I hope continue to pray for each other, continue to pray for this Bible study, certainly continue to pray for me, and I hope in the next coming year, we just have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, a name above all name. The name that has a power, a beautiful, wonderful name, a name that shakes the heavens up, Lord. Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your wonderful blessing, Lord. And I just submit each and every person here, Lord, each and every person who's listening, Lord. Lord, as we look back of your faithfulness, how good you have been to us, Lord. Even in those dire circumstances where we think that everything was falling apart, we see your hand in that, Lord, and how you have upheld us, how you have protected us, how you have guided us. We just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, as we go through these commandments, Lord, none of us are perfect. And Lord, as we have looked at these commandments, we have seen that how many times we have fallen short of fulfilling these commandments, Lord. And our enemy, Satan, Lord, who is a false witness, as it says in the book of Revelation, constantly accuses, brings accusement against us, Lord. But what he leaves out is we are washed in the blood of Christ. We are covered by the blood of Christ. And in that we have eternal life, Lord. So, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. I pray for each and every person here. Bless them abundantly, Lord. Use them mightily, Lord. And that together we may glorify your name, Lord. And as we read today in the book of Acts, Lord, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and end of the world, your gospel would be proclaimed and many would come to know you. It's in Jesus' mighty name that we pray. Amen.